Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome to the 4th of July edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. But the fireworks actually began last week, didn't it, Dustin, with USC and UCLA making the jump to the Big Ten. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, when you heard the big news on Thursday, what was your first reaction?
Well, it was really hard to believe. So when the first social media post goes out, John Wilner from the San Jose Mercury News, I know of John, not super familiar with his work, but so that report goes out, and then you're getting a lot of different confirmations that, like, this is for real. And it doesn't even take until the end of the day, end of the night, for that to be confirmed and announced. So my head was absolutely spinning. I mean, you've seen a lot of different conference expansion. You've seen a lot of different discussion. You've seen the SEC most recently bring in Oklahoma and Texas, and that was a big deal. But that one kind of made some sense. They're not that far away. They're already in the state of Texas. But this one, I mean, the Midwest-based Big Ten to add two programs from Los Angeles, it's still hard for me to wrap my head around. But as we've gotten a few days into it, I think I feel like I understand where this is headed, why it's happening. But it is just, I think, a sobering reminder that, you know, college football, college athletics at large, I mean, it's going in a direction that isn't going to look like what your father or grandfather watched, you know, way back in the day. This is really hit home as being the biggest shock, I think, of all this conference expansion is to see two West Coast schools added to the Big Ten. It's still surprising to me, but there's a lot to unpack from it.
As you might guess, we're going to devote our show to this because there is so many layers to it, Dusty, that, and I'm sure we're not even going to hit them all today, and more news is going to keep coming out. I was with you. I was really surprised early in the day when it first came out. I didn't even want to take it seriously yet until it was confirmed, because this kind of stuff sometimes just gets out there. But I do want to... I told myself, as this was coming out and being shocked by it, we've taken every other thing, the transfer portal, name, image, and likeness, and we all throw up our arms. Oh my goodness, the game is being changed. It's not going to be the same. Obviously, there's going to be differences. Why is this bad? And a lot of people are treating it that way. What is really so bad about this?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, to me, we're just going on a little different ride. And, you know, I've seen various different things. I saw a Reddit post just about West Virginia and the Big 12 and feeling like there's no, no real rivalry and there's no real emotional connection to these different schools. That's where we're headed, is I think you're going to start to lose out on some of that hardcore rivalry stuff. Now, you know, in the Big 10's case, they're, everybody's still there, obviously, so you're not going to lose that completely. But you know, you're adding two transplants from the West Coast, and it is just going to be, I think what it comes down to for me is that it's a business oriented move, and everything is a business oriented move. USC and UCLA in the Pac-12, I mean, right off the bat, they're going to stand to make, I don't know, $30, $40, $50 million more per school per year being in the Big Ten versus the Pac-12. And for in the Big Ten's case, they're going to be able to expand into that Los Angeles market. And I'm sure the Big Ten isn't done yet. They might say that they're standing pat now. I'm sure they're not done yet. There's going to be a lot more enticing, situation for their negotiating BTN Fox, for them to negotiate a TV deal. So money is driving this train. Without a doubt. If that were unclear prior to this, money's driving the train. And I'm kind of excited about it. I mean, you get a whole splash of something new here with two storied programs. You're not bringing in San Jose State and San Diego State. This is USC and UCLA.
And I think that's the important part. And by the way, we will get to those other potential teams coming in. Let's just talk about this on the surface. USC and UCLA coming in. Dustin, I've been on my soapbox for months, maybe even a year. Remember the alliance that got kind of poo-pooed after a while with the idea of playing teams from those other conferences? Well, in effect, we're getting that. We're getting the USC, the UCLAs. I'm excited about playing both of those teams, either one of them coming to Beaver Stadium, I think will cause a great deal of excitement. And the thought of every 2 years making a trip to Los Angeles to play one of those teams, I think that's a great thing on the surface for Penn State, two exciting teams to play. I say Penn State, everybody else also in the Big Ten, but I think it really adds intrigue to their schedule.
And I think that's what it's all about. I mean, adding in these intriguing matchups is a valuable commodity for everyone. I mean, I do feel like, and I think we covered this ground last week, Penn State going, playing home and home against Auburn. Now, Penn State looks like they're a little bit more formidable in the state of Alabama, and I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that they were exposed to this state in a brand new way. So I think the same thing kind of happens here. We're talking about trying to add as much spice as you can to these to team schedules. And you're right. I mean, this is not the route that I was expecting to go to get there. I was with you. Like, I laughed at this alliance talk because it didn't mean anything. And now you have the Big Ten really pushing the Pac-12 to the brink of something. Contraction, expansion, whatever. This was the opposite of an alliance with the Pac-12, but the Big Ten surely gets better from it. And I think it's kind of like the race is on to add as many powerful brands to your arsenal as possible, for all kinds of reasons, for intrigue, for playoff, but most importantly, I think for TV revenue. They're in the LA market, and they've got two traditional, well-recognized, big-time brand names.
Let's take a look at some of the notes for an expanded Big Ten and what it would mean to have USC and UCLA come in. One of the issues, without being a regional conference anymore, but essentially a national conference, is travel. My thought is on if they, and we'll get to this in a second about how it's scheduled, I think it'll be 3-6-6. You have three rivalry games, and then the other 12 teams in the conference, you play six of them home and away, and then you play the other six home and away. So over a four-year span, if you do that, Penn State and everybody else in the traditional Big Ten would go to the West Coast once every other year, which I don't think is that big a deal. I think the only travel issues will be USC and UCLA, besides playing each other, they would have a lot of traveling.
Yeah, and I think those are the things that we still don't know what it looks like yet. And certainly for football, it's not overly complicated because of that. USC and UCLA asked for admission into the Big Ten. Clearly, they're willing to accept, whatever comes with that. And, I think I've seen some people just sort of talking about, student athletes, and these are amateurs, and you're up in the travel for these athletes. And I think it's more of a thing for me. Like, I'm curious how it's going to be working out in the other sports, not just the big revenue sports, but all the Olympic sports too. It looks like all those sports are going to be involved in this. So for now, I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but these teams are set to join the Big Ten in 2024. My suspicion is between now and when that's supposed to happen, the Big Ten's going to make some other moves. And what I'm curious to see, and this is what I sort of predict, that, the super conference, the mega conference, I'm sure we'll get into the prospect of that too. But I feel like you're going to have like a Big Ten West that's going to be whatever, Washington, Oregon, UCLA and USC, where then you can sort of schedule around, just like the NFL does, okay, the Big Ten East is going to play the Big Ten West this year, and you'll be able to organize it a little bit better. But that's a little bit further down the road. If we're taking it as is right now, I mean, they're just going to have to deal with some travel logistical concerns and some big trips. And I don't know whether you sort of couple Penn State, for example, volleyball going to Nebraska and then going to UCLA after that to try to make it more of a road trip instead of, you know, back and forth. But I'm curious to see what they explain, how they break it down, how they manage to find the most favorable way to make these trips. But there's no good way to do it in all these sports, I don't think.
Well, for teams traveling out west, I suspect all the other sports, if you travel west, you play both UCLA and USC. But it does create some other intriguing things, like how about playing the Big Ten championship game out in the Rose Bowl, Dusty?
I mean, if the Rose Bowl is effectively dead from this, I don't know how you have the Big Ten and the Pac-12 coming together to play a good old-fashioned Rose Bowl game. Then heck yeah, play it out there. You know, add some intrigue to it. I think people have liked Indianapolis. They've liked playing indoors. But man, why would you not want to play at the Rose Bowl as many times as you can with that backdrop and that tradition? Then yeah, you are in the Big Ten footprint now, and pretty much all of America is in the Big Ten footprint. So yeah, go crazy. I don't really see any reason to not do that.
And before we end this segment, real quick, Dusty, I did a mock-up of a schedule where I gave Penn State fans probably won't like this, but I gave Penn State rivalry teams of Michigan State, Maryland, and Rutgers. Okay, probably the worst case. But I look at the Big Ten roster of teams, including, before you add USC and UCLA, I think there's six or so quality teams. You divide them. I have Penn State one year playing Michigan State, Ohio State, UCLA, and Iowa. On the other year playing Michigan State, Michigan, USC, and Wisconsin. I count that as either way, four really quality games. So I think the schedule looks pretty nice with the added USC and UCLA.
Yeah, I think it's a nice supplement. I mean, nobody's really got that rivalry history with those two teams, but certainly they can be rivals with each other. But it just adds a whole new spice and another layer of challenge to their schedules.
Let's face it, anytime you have USC playing a Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, a Wisconsin, and Iowa, it's going to be a huge game. All right, Dustin, we're just getting started. Stick around in quarter number two. We're going to predict what comes next.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server, and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. It's quarter number two. It's 4th of July. Dustin, you know what that means. It means we start thinking about football. It's not that far away. Want to let you know about our great trip to Auburn. You alluded to going to Auburn earlier. Keystone Sports, along with Collegiate Athletic Travel, we're partnering, sponsoring a great trip down there with the flight, hotel, transportation to and from the game, tailgate at the stadium. And we also have a chance for you, our listeners, to participate in a Jim and Dustin show. We're going to do a live Keystone Kickoff show from down there. So we're going to be doing that Friday night. Contact Athletic Travel at 800-788-4414 for all the information. We're getting close enough where there's going to be, the deadline is going to come up at the end of July. So if you want to go, get your phone call in, get the details in. All right, Dustin, we've been talking about USC and UCLA making their way into the Big Ten. And this was obviously the step that Big Ten made in reaction to the step the Southeast Conference made with Oklahoma and Texas. Obviously, it was the answer to that. Is this where it stops for both conferences, or is this just the beginning?
Well, I think it's just the beginning. I really, truly do. I mean, mentioned the phrase mega conferences or super conferences, however you want to put it. To me, it just seems like we're headed down a path where you're going to have the Big Ten and the SEC both be 20 members, 24 members, whatever the number ends up being. You're going to have two haves, and everybody else, it just feels like it's going to be a have not. By the time all this happens, maybe you have the expanded playoff and maybe you have, you know, two guaranteed spots in the playoffs for both of these mega conferences or whatever. But there's going to be a lot more changes to come, I think. And the fact that the Big Ten is adding two West Coast schools, I mean, again, tells me I don't think they're done yet. And I don't think they're done in the West. I don't think they're done trying to get a big fish like Notre Dame. I think they're still working towards that. And it really puts the Big 12, on alert. It puts the Pac-12 in a position where, you know, the Big 12 is familiar with this position where you're trying to figure out, who can we add? Are we adding? Is anybody else leaving? What exactly? They're kind of fighting for their life a little bit. And the ACC, you know, has been relatively unaffected. You know, they haven't lost teams. They haven't gained teams in this recent wave of craziness. So what are they going to do? Are they going to be out there trying to add as well and try to keep up with these two leagues? But certainly the Big Ten and the SEC are far and away the most valuable conferences. They're going to far and away have the biggest TV deals. They're going to have the most powerful brands collectively. And you could definitely make a case that the Big Ten now with Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and USC and UCLA, they've got, you know, a brand advantage probably, I think, from top to bottom over the SEC. And this is going to be, you know, a crazy push, I feel like, to survive, to try to be one of the haves in college football as opposed to a have not. And I feel like you're going to have two mega leagues emerge, and the way that they conduct their business is going to be different than ever before, where they're going to be essentially sports, pro sports leagues, that are going to operate inside themselves. They're going to govern themselves. They're going to be, you know, self-fulfilling. It's going to be a crazy time in college football and all of college athletics. We've seen craziness before, and we've seen these arms races unfold before over the last like 30 plus years, but this feels way different than anything else that we've experienced before.
And to understand just how big those dollars are, the Big Ten is currently negotiating the balance of their football contract. Fox has half of it, and understand that Fox owns at least half of the Big Ten network, so they're part of the negotiations for the rest of it. Big Ten rights are in heavy demand, whether it's NBC, CBS, and it's a show for another segment, another week, Dustin, where we could talk about that for an hour, but understand this, for USC and UCLA coming to the Big Ten, and I'm just ballparking numbers, but it's something like they're going to go from like, I don't know, $30, $40 million per year, maybe potentially up to 50, to maybe $100 million by being part of the Big Ten and this next television contract. So the numbers are huge, and the Southeast Conference is going to be there also. If those teams that are left over in the Pac-12 and the Big 12 after Oklahoma and Texas leave, they're going to be scrambling for dollars. You mentioned the ACC. The one other thing to know about the ACC, there's something called grant of rights. Essentially what these conferences did to hold off more people, more teams leaving, is they had all the teams commit their media rights for a certain amount of time. Now, forget the Pac-12 and the Big 12. That's almost over. And that's why Oklahoma and Texas are taking a couple years to get out. The ACC has the media rights of all their teams locked up through 2036, another 15 years. And what that means is, if Clemson left the ACC for the Southeast Conference, the ACC says, fine, but any of your television rights, we still own them. So the money would still go to the ACC. Contracts are made to be broken, so something could happen. But the ACC being out of this conversation is partially because of that. But candidly, at what point do a number of ACC teams say, we're better off with the Big Ten? Some schools will say, we're better off with the Southeast Conference. And the ACC just goes poof. And when that happens, there are no more grant of rights, media rights.
Yeah, I don't know what is going to happen on that front. What I do know is, in terms of revenue generation, the Big Ten is in the best position of everybody because they're in Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles. I mean, they're in some of the biggest markets in the United States, and that's not going to change. The ACC, I mean, that, we haven't heard a ton of speculation about who goes where, but where things are going and how much money we're talking about, you know, for the next Big Ten television contract to be priced in the neighborhood of $1 billion. It doesn't seem like what the ACC has going on with their media rights is an absolute deal breaker to me when you're talking about this amount of money flying around. It seems like there'd be enough money to buy out of that or to invest in, you know, an early departure and pay a penalty or something to secure your spot in college football's future, because that's what it's all about now, is trying to figure out where you fit in this bold new future that is coming really, really quickly. You know, you mentioned name, image, likeness, and you mentioned an expanded playoff, and we're talking about, you know, free agency essentially with the transfer portal. You know, stuff is happening really fast, and I think there's a lot of urgency to figure out, okay, you know, if you're an ACC team, what options do I have to get out of that? What's it going to cost me? And maybe it's worth me paying whatever the penalty is to make sure that I'm part of what I think the future is going to be. And whether the ACC is or isn't part of that, I'll be fascinated to see. because, you know, if you look at it beyond Clemson, I mean, how powerful has the ACC been outside of that one program?
Well, they're not very powerful. And I want to get to Notre Dame because they're going to be, they're still the biggest fish that's still out there. And candidly, I'm not sure Notre Dame could keep passing up the big money as you described in the Big Ten, say. And what a natural that would be. And we'll get back to the ACC before we end the show. But let's talk Notre Dame. And I'm sure the ACC would want Notre Dame full time just for their own survival. But if you're Notre Dame, don't you want all that extra money that comes with the Big Ten? Plus, you have natural rivalries there in state with Purdue. You know they've played Michigan, with Penn State, with USC. How about also bringing Stanford in, where Notre Dame has a long-standing rivalry with them? How about Dustin, Notre Dame and Stanford as the next two teams to come in?
That is as good a case as you could make right now. And this does feel like, with especially with it being USC and the fact that that Notre Dame has played some of these Big Ten teams, some of these traditional Big Ten teams so often over the years, this feels like it's starting to tip the scales away from Notre Dame clutching to its independent status. You know, they're going to have so much leverage when you're talking about trying to lure them into a league. And they are, you know, the ACC obviously has a little bit of a foothold there with Notre Dame outside of football. But, man, I mean, I think they can keep so much of their schedule that they typically play every single year together. It's just a matter of, especially if you add Stanford, like you said, it's just a matter of, you know, how much sweeter do they have to make an offer for Notre Dame to either bypass their independent status or come up with some kind of hybrid where they're able to, you know, enjoy the fruits of the Big Ten's labor and also still maintain some of their own independence. I'm really curious to see. But I think the Big Ten by far offers the most compelling opportunity for Notre Dame to join a league finally.
I don't think the Big Ten has to, you know, kiss Notre Dame's behind to get them in. I think it's just, hey, this is what a member makes. We're talking about $100 million a year. Plus, we offer you all these normal rivalries that you have and a couple additional big-time games. And you know what? Notre Dame, if you don't want it, that's fine. We now have USC. We now have the LA market. And we're in a position, we're now the belle of the ball. We could essentially have anyone we want.
Yeah. And maybe it is that way. And maybe they can get whoever they want. But, you know, Notre Dame is the biggest fish out there right now. And everybody's going to be trying to reach out to them and try to add them in there. So in that respect, Notre Dame still has a bit of leverage. I still think in the end, whatever that is, Notre Dame's a member of the Big Ten.
I'm with you. It just makes too much sense for everybody, Dustin. All right, that's it for quarter number two. We'll keep up the conversation in quarter number three.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering old state's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000. Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Obviously, we've been talking USC, UCLA joining the Big Ten. We've also been talking about our trip to Auburn, Dusty. I want to add one more thing because I talked to our friends over at Collegiate Athletic Travel. I've had multiple people, listeners of our show from down south, from Georgia, from Florida, contact me about, is there a way they could meet up with us somehow? Well, now there's an official way to do it. If you don't need a flight down to the Auburn game, if you're regional and you want to drive in, stay at the hotel, listen to me and Dusty, be part of our show Friday night, get your transport to the game, tailgate with us, you can now do that. They put together a land-only package for our listeners who are down south already and want to drive to the game. Just reach out to Collegiate Athletic Travel at 800-788-4414, and they could give you all the details. It's a great deal and would love to see you. We hear from our friends down south, Dusty, but we typically don't get a chance to see them. I know they're looking forward to going to the Auburn game, and we would love to see them there. All right, Dusty, we've been talking USC, UCLA coming in. We've talked about the Big Ten expanding even more. Notre Dame is the first big fish. But we've also been talking about the ACC and the teams there. Beyond Notre Dame, who are the teams that are the draw? There's also been conversation about Oregon and Washington coming to the Big Ten. They're nice teams to have. I'm not sure they're worth that $100 million. You know, you have to split it up then more ways. But if you can't get, say, Notre Dame, they might be a logical fit and have kind of a West division of the Big Ten. I'm not sure who's really that attractive left in the Big 12, which leaves the ACC, and there are some attractive teams there beyond Clemson. Now, my quick take on it is there's some logical Southeast Conference teams in the ACC. Florida State, Miami, Clemson make sense for the Southeast Conference. But I also think there's some teams that maybe make sense to go to the Big Ten and might actually be attractive. I'm thinking like Virginia, North Carolina, maybe Duke. Again, a lot of it, there's some basketball in there also. So is it that far-fetched for the ACC, even with these media rights locked up, that the league itself just kind of says, look, we can't compete. A good number of us want to go to Southeast Conference. A good number of us want to go to the Big Ten. And there we go.
Well, I mean, the reality is I don't know how they can compete from a revenue and money standpoint. How can they compete with the figures that are going to be paid out to the SEC and to the Big Ten? They're not playing on the same surface as these other conferences. And I don't think they ever will be. I mean, they're going to do all right, but you know, I think the grass is definitely going to be greener, as in money wise, you know, at some of these other locations. I don't know if the ACC really goes down that easily, but I just don't know how, other than, you know, holding steady with these media rights. I don't know how they can possibly compete and keep a North Carolina or a Duke from leaving for the Big Ten, to keep Clemson from cashing in the SEC. I mean, I don't know where they go from here, but I can't really see them adding programs and trying to keep up with these two leagues. Realistically speaking, who are they going to possibly add that makes them anywhere remotely as close to being as attractive as the Big Ten or the SEC? So for at that point in time, what are you playing for? You know, what's it going to look like if you're not one of the mega conferences and you're not invited to join one of the mega conferences? Where exactly are you? That's what I don't really know yet. You know, we might be going from the Power 5 to the Power 2, and then you're going to have the Big 12, the Pac-12, maybe the ACC, more or less being like the new Group of 5. You know, if they're not going to be in that heavy hitters category, so if they're going to hold steady and keep their league together, they're just not going to be nearly as desirable as the other two.
Dustin, could we ultimately, and I could see this, if the ACC gets broken up the way we described, and you're now talking about 24 teams in the Big Ten and in the Southeast Conference, do they even need anybody else? Could they just, between the two of them, have their own national championship?
I think, I mean, can you legitimately call it a national championship if, you know, over half the nation isn't invited? If over half the nation can't compete? So I feel like, you know, there's going to be an intersection between all this expansion, all this growth, all this realignment, looking at 2025 or whatever, where, you know, there's going to be 8 playoff bursts or 12 playoff bursts, and they're just going to get the majority of them. You know, I don't know how that ends up working out, but, you know, there's got to be some way for these teams, because there are going to be some solid teams that don't get invites into these leagues, that they still have to play for it in some way or another. And that's why I think they're going to be sort of like the way the Group of Five is now, where, yeah, technically they're in the hunt. They can make it, but, you know, the odds of them making it aren't great. I feel like there's going to be a lot of really good programs that aren't in these elite conferences that they have to be in the hunt some way or another, don't they? I mean, how can you call it a national championship if not everybody has some kind of path to get there?
If you take the teams that we talked about, Notre Dame, Stanford, Oregon, Washington, maybe Virginia, North Carolina going into the Big Ten, Florida State, Miami, Clemson, and any other particular leftover, where both the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference end up with 24 teams each. That's a total of 48 teams. Who are you missing, Dusty, who you really think is a national championship threat?
I mean, viable? Nobody really, but you're going to have Oklahoma State go unbeaten in whatever the Big 12 looks like. You're going to have, I mean, whoever's left in the Pac-12, if it's Stanford or whoever, I mean, you're going to have teams that are good. That's just going to shift the conversation then, you know, when instead of talking about Memphis or Cincinnati or a team like that, are they going to make it or are they not? I feel like the new Memphis, the new Cincinnati is going to be freaking Oklahoma State or Iowa State or whoever's left from the Pac-12 who didn't make these leagues. I mean, that's what it's going to look like to me. And there's got to be some kind of pathway to you know, give some charity births. So let's put it that way, to some of these teams that aren't part of it.
And I really don't know the answer to this question, Dustin, but if the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference chose to break away, have their own set of rules, does there have to be, as you keep saying, there has to be a path for them, but does there? you know, do those conferences, meaning the Southeast Conference and Big Ten, do they owe it, or are they in any way obligated to make those other conferences part of this equation?
I guess the real question is, to what degree is the college football world going to tell these teams that aren't in these jumbo leagues, if that's what in fact is going to happen, you don't matter? Is it you don't matter at all? So you're not even competing for this title? We're doing our own title? I mean, you could make that case, but I feel like there's going to be a situation where maybe there's automatic berths or whatever. You're going to still have these teams competing. I find it hard to believe that it's going to be that exclusive, that their own playoff isn't going to include teams from the rest of the nation. 48 teams, you're still talking about, what, 80 more teams that are trying to find a way to compete. You know, are they going to create their own postseason? Are you going to have the power too, and then you're going to have everybody else? I mean, I guess I would believe anything at this point, but all the teams that truly matter, all the teams that, you know, right now are actual competitors for national titles and college football playoff berths, are going to be part of this 48, if that's the way that it looks. So, you know, are you giving charity berths or are you not? I feel like there's going to be enough playoff berths to go around. And never mind the fact that, you know, how you're comparing these teams, you know, you're going to have, if you, you know, you're going to have teams in these 24 team leagues that are like 9-3 or 10-2 whose resume is much better than anybody. How do you even begin to compare whenever you're playing in a super league versus when you're not?
Exactly. And, you know, it's like, how far away, if you take out the teams I mentioned in the ACC, you know, North Carolina, Clemson, Miami, Florida State, I guess Pitt's going to win a lot of conference championships, right? Pitt and then West Virginia and the big or Oklahoma State.
Yeah, the best of the rest. I mean, if you don't bring a ton of prestige, or you don't bring a premium television market, you're not really going to have a spot. Like, you know, if you're not adding a significant boost, then maybe you don't belong there. What I'll really be curious about is when you reassess some of these original members, if you reassess and say, hey, you know what, Rutgers, we like the New York television market, but you don't belong in this league anymore. Are you going to be able to relegate teams to a lower division? I mean, are you going to have buyer's remorse as things shift and change? I suspect that probably won't go that route, but, you know, are you really trying to get 24 elite schools in one league? And if so, at what point do you say, you know what, Indiana, Rutgers, Maryland, or whoever, you don't belong as part of this?
Well, is there a way, you know, we haven't hit too much yet on the Big 12 and Pac-12. Do they take the best of their rest and combine it, where you would have, you know, some solid teams like Oklahoma State and West Virginia and Pitt and Utah? And can you get a good team out of Arizona or Arizona State? You know, could they just combine, merge, maybe not be an elite conference, but be a good enough conference that says, hey, we should at least get one representative in the playoffs?
I mean, it might be the only pathway to be viable is to get creative and to consolidate whatever's left. I mean, how else are you going to stay anywhere close to the same level as these two leagues?
Okay, Dustin, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around. We'll wrap it all up in quarter number four.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life. including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, today has all been about USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten. So much to cover. We did go over a lot of it. Let's circle back to the more immediate things that are going on with college football with this happening. As I said early, Oklahoma, Texas going to the Southeast Conference felt like the first domino to fall. It took till now for the Big Ten to respond, and boy, did they ever. I mean, this wasn't just a little blip. This was a huge earth-shattering one with USC and UCLA coming into the fold. Is there any chance that it'll stop for a while, that things will settle down and we'll actually get a few years with, you know, those four teams going to the two big conferences and they'll actually play a season with just those teams? Or is it just inevitable that they're going to turn into two super conferences?
I mean, to me, it seems inevitable. There's a long way to go before, you know, these teams officially arrive in their new leagues. USC and UCLA, of course, are the Big Ten in 2024. That's a lot of time. I don't think the dominoes are done falling yet. I mean, for starters, you know, the Pac-12 has some work to do. What are they going to do? And I know that most likely means San Diego State or teams that aren't really relevant to this conversation about Super Leagues. But, you know, they're at 16 teams now in the Big Ten. I don't know if anybody's standing pat on anything. And, you know, where we are in college football right now is everything's in fast forward. You've had a few moves happen in response to another over the years. You've seen, you know, when Nebraska goes to the Big Ten, that created the Leaders and Legends division. You had the Big 12 then. They have to respond to that. So I feel like there are still some moves to make for both of these leagues. There are still premium brands available. There are still television rights to negotiate. I don't think that they're done yet. And to me, most of all, USC and UCLA, I just don't think when it's all said and done that they're the only Western presence in the Big Ten. And I just feel like there's more to do to get some balance and to get travel logistics settled. I could be wrong, but I feel like these are steps that are being taken that are going to be followed up with something else.
Okay, Dustin, put on your prognosticator hat. What is the next step? What will happen? I assume everyone's going to wait on Notre Dame. The first step will be, will they or won't they, right?
Right. Will they give up their independence now with things changing. I do think they're going to. The question is, and this maybe ties into to yours, is how long is that going to take? That is not a straightforward negotiation. That is there, you know, Notre Dame has been adamant about protecting this status for so long. In order for them to give that up, and everybody's going to know that they're the most premium brand available. So if there's an arms race to try to add more television value, there's no bigger fish out there than Notre Dame. And maybe it is true that Notre Dame holds up the rest of the realignment market. Maybe that takes a year or two to put together. It's not like I don't think if the Big Ten has to play a few years at these 16 teams, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I just don't think it's the end step, and I feel like it's going to move faster than that. But you know, if they have to compete all the way through 2024 with you know 2025 with these teams, I think they're okay with that. But I think they would like to add more, and I just feel like, you know, with this in mind, like my prediction would be, I know we talked before about getting rid of divisions entirely. I think you're going into pods now. You know, I think you're going to 20 teams and you're having four or five team pods where now you've got a Western division where it's USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, and Stanford, whoever ends up joining the fold. That, to me, is how it makes the most sense, is you're able to have some kind of geographic boundary, but instead of it being a conference bound by geography, you've got your divisions that are, you know, more geographically inclined.
How about the Southeast Conference? Where do they go from here?
Boy, I mean, who else is out there for the taking? You know, it gets complicated with Clemson and Florida State and Miami, but that makes the most sense. You've got teams. I mean, that is part of your footprint already. The Southeast, it includes the state of Florida, includes Georgia. You know, South Carolina is in the SEC. It makes sense to go after the best teams left in those southern states. And, you know, if you're adding Clemson, you hope that Miami, that brand, can get back to where it was before. I think those make sense. But again, you are talking about complex negotiations. You're not talking about just being able to pry them away like you were able to do with USC and UCLA. There's work to be done, but I think they're going to keep doing this work. I really do.
What effect do you think all these changes will have on, we talked about it a little bit, the college football playoffs? And, you know, let's forget that the Southeast Conference and Big Ten are going to get those 24-team mega conferences. Let's say they either stay at 16 or maybe take another team or two and get up to 18. What effect will that have on the playoffs? Will it push for expanded playoffs sooner?
I think you have to at that rate, because, you know, four playoff teams, when you have these leagues with all those good teams in it, you know, like, it's not like USC can just walk to a Pac-12 title now and be secure in their placement in the college football playoff. You know, you're going to have teams that are fifth or sixth out of 20 or 24. Again, if that's where all this ultimately goes, as we think, who are going to be perfectly good playoff contenders. So I feel like the collection and how dense these conferences are going to be with elite programs, you know, the best teams are going to be on the outside looking in if you only take four. I really feel like we're going to go to 8 or 12, you know, whenever they're able to, I guess in 2025. It's the only way.
You would think that would be the case. Now, what I find a little bit intriguing is those conferences, the ACC, Pac-12, Big 12, that delayed the expansion of playoffs, they may have shot themselves in the foot. They maybe should have locked themselves into something, you know, whether it's an automatic bid for, you know, the conference winner, somehow, some way, because now they may just be at the mercy of the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten.
I mean, that's one way to circumvent one opponent of expansion, is just to make that opponent completely irrelevant. And it's a big move from these leagues saying, you know what, Big 12, all right, if we're going to stand in the way of progress, you're just not going to be part of this. And at this point in time, I mean, you could have Oklahoma State or somebody catch on someplace else. I've seen Kansas to the Big Ten, which just it feels weird to me, but maybe that ends up happening. But you're going to have the Big 12 be as irrelevant as ever. And it feels like a lot of these moves over the past like 15 or 20 years have really targeted the Big 12. Like the Big 12 has been fighting for its life and its relevance for two decades now. And I think we're getting to a point, Jim, where the Big 12 is ultimately going to lose that fight.
Well, if, you know, history is our guide, remember the Southwest Conference going away, but, you know, four of their teams merged with what was the Big 8 and they became the Big 12. You know, is that ultimately the answer for them and the Pac-12? Let's face it, losing USC and UCLA, especially USC, that's their name brand. You know, the Pac-12, whatever remnants there are, and the Big 12, you could say the same thing, what remnants there are there, do they look at each other as either one swallows the other, or do they get together and say, hey, let's just take the best of both of us and put it together?
It's hard for me to believe that the Pac-12 could be sitting down right now saying, you know what, we're going to be just fine if we add an up-and-comer. If we add San Diego State, we're going to be just fine. Clearly, the writing is on the wall, you know, because your loss, which is a huge loss, is a huge gain for somebody else. And just picking and choosing from smaller fish to graduate upwards and join your league probably isn't going to be good enough in this new world. I mean, the Big Ten just doesn't have a lot of weak links in it. And, you know, they're going to be so strong, so heavy at the top. You can't go out there and add, you know, a program from a lesser division and really expect to be relevant the way things are going. I mean, they're going to have to get creative. And the Big 12 and the Pac-12 marriage seems to make a lot of sense. And if that ends up being what happens, then what becomes of the ACC now? You know, it again comes down to that. The Big 12 and the Pac-12, you know, geographically it makes some sense. But what's left for the ACC if there's nowhere else to expand? They need Notre Dame.
But if you're Notre Dame, is there any way in the world with things sitting the way they are now, can you go to the – you can't go to the ACC. You can't. And I feel if they haven't gone to them over the last couple years, the ACC is just losing out in credibility. They're losing financially because of the other conferences, Southeast Conference and Big Ten, are advancing. So if you're Notre Dame and you have your pick, you can't possibly go to the ACC, can you?
It makes no sense whatsoever unless they compete somehow and they are on their own planet when it comes to the revenue share, or that they are allowed to maintain some of that independence. I don't know that the ACC can really make a sweet enough deal to keep to keep Notre Dame outside of one of these leagues. And if they're going to join one of these major leagues, it's got to be the Big Ten. I think it's just a matter of when now, not if. And I could have never said that prior to this latest move.
And my feeling on the rest of the ACC is Clemson, Miami, Florida State, do they want to stick it out with the ACC or move on? That determines whether we still have an ACC or not. All right, Dustin, that is it for our show. I'm sure that's not the end of this conversation, though. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering Old State's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000.